Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, several weeks ago, we brought you a conversation with Dr. Thomas Welsh. He's a professor at SUNY Upstate and chair of pediatrics, and of course, has a huge role as the new Galisano Children's Hospital is being built. We asked Dr. Welsh to return this morning. Good morning, Dr. Welsh.
Hi, nice to be here.
As we've discussed before, having a new structure won't change the excellent care children are already receiving at University Hospital, but we thought you might be interested to know about some new ways of handling patient care, a recent development of no more than a few years, specialized functions, roles, or professionals in the hospital, not just in pediatrics, but throughout the hospital. So if you or a loved one find yourself admitted to the hospital, you may hear some of these titles. We thought it would be a good idea to discuss just what they are. So what are some of those titles, Dr. Welsh?
Well, the big one I think that people are hearing a lot about today is hospitalist.
Hospitalist,
they go into the hospital and they're cared for by a hospitalist.
And what does that mean?
Well, a hospitalist is somebody who actually specializes in inpatient medicine. In a decade or more ago, if you were sick and needed to be hospitalized, you'd usually first go to your physician's office. Your physician would say, I think you need to be in the hospital. You'd be sent to the hospital. And your physician would stop in the morning or in the evening to see how you're doing, would write the orders for you, and that sort of thing. And that worked reasonably well for most people that were in the hospital. Things have changed considerably, though, over the past decade or two. One of the things is the seriousness of illness of patients in the hospital today has ratcheted up quite a bit. People, to give you a simple example, who have infections that need IV antibiotics, in a decade ago would be in the hospital for 10 days, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, however long they needed the IV antibiotic. Today, they'll often be in the hospital for a few days and then receive the IV antibiotics at home. So it's very rapid turnover, and the patients that are in the hospital tend to be quite a bit sicker. So the capability of a doctor working in his or her office to run back and forth to the hospital just isn't there as much as it was because there are more things to be running back and forth for. Since hospitalists specialize in inpatient medicine,
inpatient meaning in the hospital, in bed in the hospital,
for that reason, they're there all the time. So you don't have to worry about the nurse calling your personal physician who might be in the middle of office hours in the afternoon and not able to get to the hospital in the evening. He or she just gives a call to the hospitalist. The hospitalist runs over, takes care of the problem. The other thing that I think is really driving the need for hospitalists is that a lot of care today involves a lot of coordination. When it comes time for someone to go home, whether it be home to a nursing facility, to a chronic care facility, or home with some type of IV or home medicines, there's coordination with the home health care agency, with the chronic care facility, if that's what's happening. So that's the type of thing that hospitalists and the people who work with hospitalists do day in, day out, and can do a lot more efficiently than your doctor trying to coordinate everything from his or her office.
And things that he doesn't typically or she doesn't typically have to handle on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Yeah. From the patient's point of view, it means a couple of different changes. And, you know, I talk to patients all the time, and I hear things that they appreciate the fact that the hospitalist is there, and then I hear some complaints too. So let's go through those and make sure that our listeners at least can understand what those benefits are. From the patient's point of view, I'm in the hospital and I need care. And the choice used to be call my family physician and wait for the family physician to get back. And it could be hours later before something took place. But the hospitalist is always right there. Yes?
Exactly, yes. Any time one is in the hospital. And remember, the hospitalist is not someone that you call yourself. The
right.
hospitalist is usually called by your physician when you are admitted to the hospital.
Right, but and there's coordination there, right?
There certainly should be.
Yes, and so that means that when I'm admitted to the hospital, my doctor is then talking to the hospitalist to make sure the hospitalist knows who I am and what I need.
Sure. In fact, one of my roles at University Hospital is working as a pediatric hospitalist. In fact, we have a group of pediatric hospitalists that provide really the bulk of care for children in the hospital. And one of the first things that I do on the receiving end is either take the call from the physician who's sending a child in to be hospitalized or review the materials that accompanied that child, because certainly if I'm going to provide that child really efficient, timely, safe care, I really have to know what's been going on in the outpatient area. I need to know what's been going on in the office. But secondly, once I've had a chance to assess the child, I always make a point within the first 24 hours of calling the referring physician, letting her know what it is that we found, asking any questions that might not have been clear from the materials that accompany the child. We try to provide some follow-up during the time the child's in the hospital, and then another phone call at the time of discharge, letting the referring physician know when the child's coming back, what we did, what medications were started, that sort of thing.
And absolutely, I think that's key for our listeners to understand too, just the coordination that takes place on the front end, then you mirror that on the other side when the patient is discharged from the hospital back to the family doctor or the referring doctor.
In fact, many of the complaints that one hears about hospitalists really are because of either the hospitalist, the referring physician, not doing their job right.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if there is that communication at the front end when the patient is being referred in, and then if the referring physician gets all the information at the end, the process should work very smoothly. And when you hear of problems, it's because one of those two parties sort of slacked off on the communication component.
Fell down on that part of the job. Well, there are a couple of things from patients' point of view. One, if they're going to be hospitalized, I think they should ask their doctors, will I see you or will I see a hospitalist? And their doctor should know the answer to that question, yes?
Sure. And in fact, in most hospitals in the Syracuse area, both options are available. Of the large pediatric groups in Syracuse, some admit their own patients to the hospital and come in and visit with the patient every day, talk with the interns and residents about the patient, and provide that day-to-day care. What we're seeing increasingly, though, is that since most pediatricians don't hospitalize children very often, it really is difficult for pediatricians to have a child in the hospital and go back and forth from the office. So increasingly, pediatricians are handing over the care of their children to hospitalists. But that's something that varies from practice to practice. And I should say one other thing, too, is that since most physicians today practice in large groups, that it's very likely, even if your physician's group sees their own patients in the hospital, it may not be your physician that you see. In a 10 or 12 pediatric practice, for example, there's generally only one of these physicians that's going to be taking care of children in the hospital at any given time. So you might be seeing a different physician anyway.
Anyway, exactly right. Well, you know, that also raises another question. That's when plans are made. Somebody knows they're going to be hospitalized. They can perhaps ask for their records. They can have this conversation. But sometimes people are admitted under emergency situations or for whatever reason, and they end up in intensive care. And that takes us to another kind of specialist, doesn't it?
Right. That would be the intensivist. And the intensivist is the specialist for very critically ill patients.
Well, and tell us why an intensivist is so important.
Yeah, a lot of times patients that are in intensive care units have technology that requires day-to-day, minute-to-minute supervision. Patients on respirators, for example, or patients that are receiving dialysis or emergent surgical procedures. Those types of things require someone that's managing these types of patients every day. Managing a child on a respirator is not something you can do once or twice a year. So the intensivist is someone who is actually in the intensive care unit physically almost all the time that the patient is there and is able to provide that day-to-day, minute-to-minute supervision of the care.
I have to think that just the technology, the changes in the technology, would be a good reason to have an intensivist.
Absolutely. It's very difficult to keep track of this. Even things like respirators are changing every few years in terms of their capabilities and the way in which they work. And unless this is something with which one is dealing on a day-to-day basis, it's really just not possible to keep up with it.
Are there other new titles we're hearing in hospitals?
Certainly one that you may hear a lot about is interventional radiology. You know, radiologists used to be folks who looked at x-rays. You'd come into the emergency room at night, someone would take your chest x-ray, and the next morning the radiologist would look at it. Interventional radiologists actually do procedures. They put catheters into blood vessels, tubes into stomachs, drain abscesses, using radiology x-rays to gain access to those parts of the body.
And that's pretty much what they do all day long?
That's pretty much what they do all day long, yes. Interventional radiologists are busy all day doing these types of procedures for children and adults.
So they don't necessarily have patients in a practice on their own. They're working in the hospital doing these kinds of procedures.
Exactly. There are very few interventional radiologists that are in private office practice. This is usually a hospital-based specialty because many of the patients that they deal with are in intensive care units or hospitalized patients.
And so they do these procedures and they become experts in these procedures. The patients benefit because they have somebody who that's their expertise, and the radiologists benefit because they get to stay up with the technology too and learn how to do these advanced procedures.
Exactly. Putting in intravenous lines, for example, is so much easier now that we have interventional radiologists that can use technology to access these blood vessels easily.
Very good. Well, it seems like all these new titles are definitely beneficial to patients, and they actually serve a function as well for the cost of care and the outcomes of care. In the long run, it's up to the patients, or it's beneficial to the patients in every way.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right, especially in terms of costly, efficient, safe care.
Very good. Well, Dr. Thomas Welch, thanks so much. This has been a great conversation. Helps people prepare for being in the hospital, knowing who's going to be caring for them.
Thanks.
And listeners, we do need to take a break now, but we'll be back shortly. This is University Hospitals HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.